Merry Christmas. I love Christmas so much. My favorite part of this season has always been the wealth of Christmas traditions in my family. From the plush Velcro Christmas tree advent calendar and the elaborate system for tracking who among my sisters and me got to put up which ornament which year, to leaving out not just cookies and milk for Santa, but also carrots for the reindeer and cheese for Santa Mouse, the Christmas season has always been a time for ritual, some serious, most silly. The best of our traditions is the annual reading of The Night Before Christmas. On Christmas Eve, after the stockings have been hung from the table with care, one doesn't need a hearth in Florida after all, my sisters and I gather around an old, battered copy of the book from my father's childhood. My parents read alternating pages aloud. My father grumbles. My older sister swoons over the illustrations of the mother's dress. And then comes this passage. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. At which point we all simultaneously pretend to vomit, then say, "Oh, I ate too much sash." Last Christmas, we had two extra people at the reading. Nobody thought to warn them. Sorry. Growing up, Christmas was always a purely secular holiday for us. We didn't go to church on Christmas or any other day, and the story of Jesus' birth was at best tangential to my Christmas experience. But as I've come into my identity as a Unitarian Universalist, I've begun to find power in the biblical story that accompanies the season as much as I do in my family's own traditions. For me, though, the center of the story isn't Jesus. He grew up to be a pretty awesome radical leader, for sure. But all he does in this story is what? Be born? No, the center of the story is Mary. She faces her situation with such tenacity and grace that I cannot help but love her. Her strong character is the lesson. Her soft heart the takeaway. I carry her with me like a stone in my pocket this Christmas season and always. I thought this Christmas was going to be my first without my parents, but thanks to a little cajoling from their favorite middle daughter, they flew in from Florida yesterday evening along with my little sister. And although our copy of The Night Before Christmas is too delicate for a cross-country trip, I found the words online and printed them out for us. And last night in our hotel room, we all ate a little too much sash.
Back in the day, there were something that we called home movies. This predated by decades. Video cameras and GoPros and certainly Skype. No one even considered the idea that you might have a phone with a camera that you could take video on. That was just beyond us. These home movies required something called film. And this film required something called processing. And it was shown on a projector. Now, some of you may have seen these things in a museum. I'm explaining all this in order to tell you why in my parents' bedroom closet there exist these reels of Super 8 film of me and my siblings descending the Christmas staircase with evergreen on the banister and twinkle lights, squinting against the light. These old movie cameras required these bright, bright lights that were more suited to set off the shadows behind you that was more suited to Halloween than it was to Christmas. So this was just one of the memories that we had from Christmas. Now, we didn't realize we were doing traditions back then. It was just stuff that we did every year. For instance, every Christmas Eve, we would go to my dad's parents' house, Grandma and Grandpa Cooper. Now, if you remember some of my earlier stories, this was the house on the hill, up the hill from the railroad yards. We would get there. In her window would be the skinniest Christmas tree I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why she always picked these really skinny trees. I guess it was because the living room was not that big and there were going to be a lot of people in it. But she had on these, how many people remember the little light bulbs that bubbled? Oh, right. They were all sorts of different colors. They looked like little space missiles or something. This was before you put 80,000 little white twinkle bulbs on a tree. You had these little bubbling lights on them instead. But, of course, so we would see that in the window. All of us would converge on the house. All the cousins, aunts and uncles. Now, one set of cousins we saw more often than the other set, and that was because of the personality of the woman who married my dad's brother. And that's all I'll say about that. And my other set of cousins we saw all the time, and that was pretty much because we were double cousins. That's right. My dad's sister married my mom's brother. Remember, this is Kentucky we're talking about. So before we opened gifts, we would have dinner. If Grandma Cooper was known for anything, she was known for her deviled eggs. Didn't have a recipe. We would study, watch what she did. No one could replicate it, of course. All we could figure out, she used pickle juice instead of vinegar. That was the secret. We still couldn't make them as well as she did. How a fine Baptist woman made deviled eggs, I don't know, but she would be horrified to think I was dancing in church this morning. The other things she had were pieces of celery. And in the little celery trough, you would have peanut butter or cream cheese. I see people nodding. This was a fancy hors d'oeuvre. We knew. You've been there. We knew it was a special day when we had those. As the years went on and my cousins and double cousins had kids, there would be more and more gifts. And my grandma was an amazing seamstress, and she would make slippers and bathrobes. And for my niece, who was the one and only great-granddaughter, the rest were boys, she made the most darling little dresses that you've ever seen, just closets full of them. So that was Christmas Eve. The next morning, about 4 a.m, my brother would awaken, demanding we all get up and see what Santa had brought. If you know anything about me, I do not like to lose any sleep. I like to sleep till noon. That's why I became an art major. We can sleep till noon. My theory was if Santa had come, the toys would still be there at noon just as much as they were there at 4 a.m. Maybe a better chance in case he was running late. But no, my brother invariably won out the day, and we would be getting up in the middle of the night to go see what he had brought. So we go and stand at the top of the stairs, and he's just raring to go. Well, of course, my parents had to go down, turn on the Christmas tree lights, turn on the twinkle bulbs in the evergreen on the banister so we'd have that festive look as we came down the stairs, turn on this Klieg light so we could have the movie camera taken of us squinting down the stairs. So as the rest of the neighborhood dimmed from the power drain, here we came down the steps to open our gifts. Later that afternoon, we would go to my other set of grandparents, Grandma and Grandpa Moffat, in the farm, if you remember my stories. We would get there. If Grandma and Grandpa Cooper's tree was skinny, theirs was spindly. Now, I don't know where they found these trees either. It's one of those varieties of evergreens where it looks like about every other branch has been taken out. I guess she thought it would give you more room to put ornaments or something. I don't know. Now, we also had 8 before we opened gifts there. If Grandma Cooper was known for deviled eggs, Grandma Moffat was known for potato salad. She made the best potato salad ever. The secret ingredient, of course, were homemade bread and butter pickles that she chopped up and put in. We're right there together.
I miss them too.
I miss them too. The other thing that she made that we would almost battle over was what we called scalloped oysters or oyster dressing. This is the simplest recipe known to man. It's crushed up saltine crackers, whole milk, salt and pepper, and oysters layered in a 9x13 pan and baked at 350 degrees. We like to fought over who got seconds of that. Don't make the mistake that I made later in life and try and make an uptown version of this. No Ritz crackers, Zesta saltines, no half and half, whole milk. That's all there is to that. So then we would, after eating and fighting over the last bit of oysters, go to the living room and open gifts. Now my grandpa would kid my grandmother. She was so fair-minded that he would joke that she would put coins in the boxes with our gifts to make sure that she spent exactly the same amount of money on every grandchild. Of course, things don't stay the same. You get older and lots of things change. I distinctly remember, although it's been decades and I was in high school, the first time I couldn't be there on Christmas Eve. I had to work. I was at Frisch's Big Boy waiting tables, serving hamburgers and french fries instead of at Grandma Cooper's eating the deviled eggs. I still remember that bizarre feeling I had, this just kind of hollow feeling in the pit of my stomach because I wasn't where I had always been. Then a couple years later, at Grandma Moffat's house, I remember my sister bursting into tears at the unspoken about elephant in the room, the fact that my brother had died that fall, just shy of his 18th birthday. Then a couple years after that, in that same room, sitting on that banister, I opened up my gift, a pair of warm winter gloves. What a practical gift. Clearly I had grown up getting such a practical gift. They're in the box with $1.37 in change. And looking through the banister at all the kids of my cousins and double cousins, and the lights in their eyes opening those gifts, and me thinking, yeah, that's really who this holiday is for those little kids. If you can experience it through their eyes, that's what really makes this special. And I guess, maybe knowing it or not knowing it, that's why my parents, all those years ago, decided to take those home movies. So they'll have those films of me and my sister and my brother walking down those stairs next to the twinkle lights, squinting, looking for our gifts, those memories.